Welcome everyone to another episode of the SADM Rams Ask a Chair podcast series. My name is Hamza Ejaz. I will be your host today, and today I am joined by Dr. Christopher McDowell, who is a department chair of emergency medicine at Southern Illinois University School of Medicine. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Let's start at the very beginning, Dr. McDowell. What drew you to the field of emergency medicine?
So I thought I was going to be a teacher. I came from a family of teachers, and in undergrad I actually got a job as a phlebotomist. And about 2 weeks in, I realized that I was hooked. I loved being in the hospital, and the emergency department was my favorite place from that point on. I would hang out there when I had extra time. But then I went kind of a circuitous route. I actually went to PA school first, worked as a PA, taught in a PA program, then went back to med school. But there was no doubt when I got to med school, emergency medicine was going to be my specialty.
Okay. All right. So in terms of now, you talked about a little bit that you always wanted to be a teacher. I noticed that you've been involved with teaching through residency education as both an assistant program director as well as then the program director. How did you garner that interest in medical education?
So I really thought after my long route to residency that I would just focus on being the best clinician that I could and then enjoy my life outside of practice. But I realized in residency, during my chief residency time and with all the education experience, there was a connection and something that kind of lit up my fire when I was teaching. And I was really impressed with my program directors, Kerry Chisholm, Kevin Rogers at Indiana, and what they were doing and the impact they had on us. And when I talked to them and they started to talk about how their residents had impact all across the country, that was powerful to be able to be a part of that. And that just continued to grow. And I got a crazy phone call from my med school that they were going to start a residency. Would you be interested in joining the faculty? And I said, absolutely. And it's just been a great ride ever since.
Okay, that's incredible to hear. I do want to dive a little bit deeper into that in terms of I've seen and heard a few other chairs as well who have previously served as program directors and ultimately then became chair as well. From your experience, you know, having gone through a similar journey, how do you feel like that helped you to either becoming a chair or has helped make your role as a chair a little bit easier?
So if you'd asked me 10 years ago, I thought being a program director was the answer for me. And I really loved it. But I started to watch my own chair at the time, David Griffin, and I saw that he had the ability to kind of mold and shape the direction of our department and where we were going as a faculty. And that was a new challenge, and that was something that I wanted to learn more about. And over time, that went from daunting, I don't know, to, oh, that's really appealing. What can I do to get myself prepared? I think, you know, after going through Match Week last week, having been the program director, it's a huge advantage for knowing what the week was going to bring last week. And really, our core business is to train great emergency physicians. That's what we're here to do. So I think that connection and that background helps me to be a better chair.
Yeah, I think a lot of not having been a chair at all, but someone who's interested in operations as well as medical education, you know, we work in a clinical arena where our primary responsibility as a clinician is to provide patient care, and then work from the academic side, it's the training, mentorship, education. It sometimes can feel like those two missions, the operational mission of running an ED, can sometimes be opposed to the education mission of our academic department, but it's the more you're involved with both of those, I feel like the more you get to realize that there needs to be a harmony amongst those two silos for you to really have a successful and strong both residency as well as academic department overall.
Totally agree.
Now, to transition as well, in terms of your prior continued professional development as well, I noticed you have an MBA as well. Can you talk a little bit more about what made you interested in getting an MBA?
Sure. So once I realized that I was interested in being a chair, I also wanted something that would kind of re-engage my own personal learning journey. And the MBA is something that I looked at actually for a few years and then finally decided to pull the trigger. And I thought first and foremost, it would give me a new skill set. It would improve my financial acumen. It would help me do a better job at thinking strategically. So that was a clear win for me. Second of all, I thought it sent a signal to the hospital and to the medical school. I'm serious about being a leader. I'm committed to this, and I want to have a seat at the table. And third, I was just convinced that I would develop a new peer group from part of that who would be friends and colleagues, and they would help me be better at my job. And interestingly, today, one of my MBA classmates, I think, was referred to at our meeting and in his role as a CMO and what he was doing to help the emergency department at another hospital system. And it's exciting to have that network of connections, much like it is today to be at this meeting with the other chairs. So on all fronts, I think it was worth it. I think it helped that I'd been in my career for a little bit. I think if I'd done it right out of residency, I might have missed some of those things. So it was the right time for me.
Okay. I appreciate that. You know, a lot of people who do have their MBA, that aspect of getting that financial acumen and getting a little more of the strategic thinking as well as the negotiations and the planning aspect of what the MBA offers, I think gravitates a lot towards why physicians and emergency physicians in general apply for those programs. So it's very helpful to see that it's paid off in the long run for you as well. Now, you alluded to a little bit of this earlier in terms of the recent MASH results. Let's take a little bit of a step back and talk about the workforce report. What are your thoughts in terms of that workforce report that came out a few years ago? And what is, and, you know, we'll talk about how that potentially impacted the recent MASH as well. But let's start off with the workforce report.
I think the workforce study was very well intentioned. And anytime you embark on some kind of workforce prediction, it's a challenging process to do. The people that did it deserve some credit for all the effort they put in. You couldn't know what was coming in the COVID pandemic. You couldn't know some of the other forces on emergency medicine. So I think in practice, it probably hasn't borne out to be true. I think the job market is opening up in a lot of different parts of the country now, and I think that that's an encouraging thing for people who are considering emergency medicine or people who are already in their residency training. And actually, I probably asked 6 or 7 chairs this morning, hey, what's the job market where you are? Each of them said they were hiring academic faculty.
You got to get that list out.
Right.
And I think that's the hard part, right? With the workforce report came out, and everyone basically just read the title, read the final results, but the dissection of the actual report, what their prediction models were, right? They were all models. So it's a hypothesis. It's a prediction of, depending on these variables that they're, you know, factoring in, then that's what the surplus is going to be. But no one, as you pointed out as well, no one could have predicted what this pandemic was going to happen to the level that it did. And that has directly impacted some of these predictions. And I think there hasn't been enough attention given across the specialty academically to talking more about the nuances of what that report was and how some students and some trainees who might be falsely fearing what the job market's going to look like. I think we need to do a little bit more of a due diligence to our specialty, to our junior trainees and junior learners, to let them know that, hey, it's going to be okay. As you're pointing out, 6 other chairs also hiring. Depending on where you're going, people are definitely hiring. So I definitely appreciate that aspect there.
I think it's interesting, too. At the time of the workforce study, our faculty, we were really surprised. A bunch of our students came to us within 24 hours with questions. So the students picked up on that. They're very intelligent, and they're trying to make well-informed decisions about their career choice. And, you know, with the recent MASH, you can see that this has impacted things on a lot of fronts. Certainly, there are other challenges. There's the boarding challenge in emergency medicine, some of the staffing issues. What they see in emergency medicine has probably not been the same as what you saw 5 years ago. But at the end of the day, you can do things in United States emergency departments to take care of somebody in their hour of greatest need more so than any other healthcare environment in the world. It is a humbling but tremendous challenge. And so I think it's going to be a great specialty for many years to come. I would encourage people to really give it some thought before they get spooked by the workforce study or anything else.
That's the difficult part, right? Like last year there was a little over 200 unfilled spots. Now we've more than doubled that with over 500 unfilled spots prior to this. So what can we do overall as a specialty in your mind, having gone through the residency education part of your prior roles as well now as a chair, what can we do as a specialty to prevent that next year from being 700, 1,000, who knows what that number might be? What can we do? What can we do to get ahead of this?
You know, every time a medical student is around you, you're acting as a role model and an ambassador for emergency medicine. So we have to be cognizant of that in all the domains that we're a part of as academic faculty. The other thing is, I think we should get it out in the open. Let's talk in open conversations with the medical students that we come in contact with at our own institutions, visiting students. Let's hear their perspective and their questions. Let's share what we think. And let's be upfront. Let's tell them about the challenges, but let's still tell them about the rewarding aspects too. I think what we'll find is we'll emerge a stronger specialty by going through this. And the people that continue to stay committed to emergency medicine, great career opportunities. But we should really listen to what their concerns are.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say, the sooner we can get in front of students, the better. So meeting medical students in their first year, their second year, or pre-med students in post-bac programs, help them to understand what emergency medicine is from the people that practice it. I think there's a disconnect in what they might hear from their medical education leaders in some of the other parts of the medical school. Let's get to them, share the real story, and have an honest conversation. And I think they'll be pleasantly surprised what a great specialty it still is.
I couldn't agree more, right? I think the challenge is, a part of the challenge is, you know, students exposed to residency or to emergency medicine, either during the fourth, sometimes when it might be, or sometime during the third year on an elective, perhaps. Like, how do we target, you know, that first year student, that second year student, so then they get involved with shadowing opportunities with other, you know, academics, so that when third year and fourth year comes around, they've built an incredible CV, they've built that application that will set them up for success for applying to a very broad market of, you know, residencies. I think that's the challenge that as a specialty that we can get ahead of is targeting those earlier and the junior medical students so that when it comes time to apply, they make the most informed decision about how to apply and whether they want to go into emergency medicine or not.
I also think emergency medicine has a unique advantage. It's a flat hierarchy. Emergency faculty are very approachable. They easily express that they're interested in the best interests of their students. And I think those connections, when they form earlier on, whether you do emergency medicine or not, you're going to get a lot from those emergency medicine faculty around you. So take advantage of their expertise. Bounce questions that you have off of them. And if someone talks to me about EM and they find another specialty, I want them to be successful. So that's great for them. But I think they'll find great resources in those EM faculty at their own institutions. And if you don't have them at your institution, look for mentors outside. We do that with a lot of other medical schools that don't have emergency medicine faculty or programs there on site. I think that's just part of giving back. And when I was a medical student, we didn't have an EM program. There are people at this meeting today who were helpful to me on my away rotations, and I'll never forget it.
There you go. And that's the thing, you know, with national organizations, SAM RAMS has so many opportunities for students who don't necessarily have their own residencies or an EM program at their home institution that you can reach out to SAM or RAMS and help you find those mentors that will help you become the best version of yourself as a clinician, as a student, as a resident as well. So I appreciate that insight for sure. Now, taking a little bit of a, you know, a little bit more of a relaxed approach now in terms of talking about advice in terms of residents who are looking for their first jobs out of residency, what would you tell them to kind of frame their mindset for looking for that first job?
I think there's three big pieces that help identify somebody's likelihood of being successful in a career and an academic emergency medicine career. The first thing, are they humble? Can they work together with a team of people to do the right thing for a patient, to do the right thing for a program? That goes a long way. When you see people who can put their own interests aside and work and collaborate well with their colleagues, that really says something about their future career and what they're going to be able to accomplish. That's the first thing I would say. That's an important thing. The second thing, be hungry. Take control of your own learning and your career. Work with the mentors that you have around yourself. Work with the coaches that you have. Be in charge of your own success. And to do that in a humble fashion, it stands out when you're the person who gets things done and you're actually interested in developing your own career. I think that's something that all leaders want to see. The third thing is people who have the ability to relate, who are emotionally intelligent, they're the most successful physicians at the bedside. They're often the most successful faculty. If you have those three skill sets or you're working on those three things, a lot of the rest of this will fall into place. People are well trained in terms of their clinical exposure. They are very intelligent than one of you academic emergency medicine. But those soft skills matter. And when you demonstrate those up front and that you're taking charge of your own career, you become a joy to work with. And I think that that really makes it obvious to a chair, to a clinical director, that this is the type of person you want on your team.
That's very well said. I really appreciate that level of insight. That's incredible. Thank you so much. I think that just about rounds out our time today as well. So Dr. McDowell, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you so much for all the insight you provided. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.